It's that time of the week where we speak to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates, and he joins me on the line now. How are you, KB?
Very well, thank you, Sam. And yourself?
Yes, very good. Very good.
Looking good?
Yeah, things good here at Radio and TV Yorkshire, as ever. Glad to kick off this week, just briefly touching on events of last week and Gary Monk being appointed the new Leeds United manager. It's been a bit quiet recently, but since his appointment. But on the outside looking in, do you think it's a good appointment for Leeds United?
Well, I think Monk did a very good job at Swansea. Well, I think it's typical of the way football is viewed today. Is that you know, he had a bad run. Lost 10 games on the row, I think. They sacked him, ignoring what he'd done the previous 2 years. Certainly, Gary Monk, I think, is probably a good appointment. And you remember, it's interesting. Nigel Pearson, the one I thought of, has been appointed at Derby. He has a good reputation. I mean, Gary's initial statements are obviously he's being very careful, keeping boasting to a low level. He's pointing out the challenge. And, of course, there are some very good managers in the competition next year. You've got Newcastle. He's going to be worthy challengers. Robbie Di Matteo, who used to play for me at Chelsea, who's got... one season, he did the double European win. And then got rewarded by being sacked. But that's football. He's at Aston Villa. So they're two strong clubs that will be adding to the competition. Norwich will be financially challenging because they have the compensation payments for 2 years. And, of course, you've got all the other big clubs around that will give Gary a strong competition, the test of his ability. But of course, it's interesting if you read what he said in his interview. The problem is we're starting behind the ball because, as I'm speaking, he hasn't had his number two appointed yet. They haven't organised the pre-season yet. So he's, I would say, running to catch up. So this is a time when he really needs Massimo's support, unqualified support, to spell out how much money he's got to spend on players, if any, who he wants to extend his contracts to, make sure the kids are sewn up for looking at the future, and what he's doing about scouting, training, and coaching. And all this is from a standing start. It's a pity he wasn't appointed earlier, but he wasn't, so let's go on with what we got. Promise him that. We'll wish him that.
Yeah, Leeds fans will obviously recall the situation with Neil Redfern, where he wasn't allowed to bring in his own assistant, Steve Thompson. But in this case, given the fact you said there is so much to do, Gary Monk really does need this extra, as many hands on deck, I suppose, as possible at this moment, particularly a strong number two.
Yeah, well, again, the number two must be appointed by the number one. And again, I don't know what Massimo's doing, where he is at the moment. This week, Football League got their annual conference in the Algarve. We're discussing changes in format. So whether Massimo's gone or he sent Paul Bell or what, I don't know. But it's already 3rd of June's gone. You better think about it. It's the 9th today. In 12 days, it'll be the longest day of the year. 21st of June. After that, the nights start drawing in and the sun starts rising 2 minutes later in the morning. So hello and goodbye, summer.
You mentioned some High profile names there joining Gary Monk in the Championship. Rafa Benitez at Newcastle, Roberto Di Matteo, of course, you know well from Chelsea, now at Aston Villa. Two Champions League winning managers in the Championship now. Are we seeing the Championship just become stronger and stronger every year with the names it can attract and the type of players?
Well, I think it's becoming more and more. I think it's becoming more and more competitive. But also, this is, if you like, a spin off. Of the fact that the Premiership become more and more competitive. I mean, you go back 10 years, Bournemouth, Southampton, Brighton almost, Crystal Palace, Stoke, West Bromwich Albion, Burnley, Hull. Who'd have thought these, relatively speaking, little clubs, like Swansea, of course, not only would have been in the Premiership, but doing well. Before it used to be Everton, Liverpool, Manchester, I mentioned the Chelsea, Spurs and Arsenal. Maybe Aston Villa. Manchester United haven't even qualified for the Champions League this year. Give Mr. Mourinho the opportunity to concentrate on winning the Premiership. But as a result of that, of course, is that bigger clubs have been relegated. Who thought with Swansea and Bournemouth, for example, would stay up in the Premiership while Newcastle and Aston Villa came down? So that's going to make the Championship much harder, but also much more exciting. It's going to be interesting and exciting, but also less able to be forecasted than any benefit.
We shall see where Leeds fit into that equation next season. You mentioned there Jose Mourinho. He's been involved in the news this week. Chelsea settling their sexual discrimination case with Eva Carneiro. The club made an apology, a U-turned apology earlier this week. Overall, what do you make of the way that the whole case has been handled by Chelsea Football Club and their former manager, Jose Mourinho?
We have to start off by saying we know what we read in the newspapers. It depends on which writer was writing it. But there is no doubt that Mourinho was totally out of order in what he did and how he behaved. And if he wasn't anybody other than Mourinho, the matter could have been resolved in an hour. He should have taken the lady doctor to one side, got it all sorted out. That was the end of it. But that's not his style. And allegedly it's cost the club £5 million, which is ridiculous. And apparently she was going to spill the beans on even more things. And that's why the club settled. I think it could have been resolved much better and much more graciously. But they are, that's football.
Do you think it damages Chelsea?
Mourinho won't change. Well, I must confess, I never thought United would give him the job. But they have done. And he is the kind of person who's so contrary and opposite where Manchester United have conducted their business as they built the dynasty. I found it hard to think they would take that step, but they have done. I look forward to an interesting season as far as Man United concerned, and I just wish Mourinho the best of luck. But I hope he lets his team do his talking instead of his tongue.
And Chelsea now, of course, can move forward from this. But do you think it overall damages the club hugely, or do you think the fact that Mourinho has departed, they can move on quickly from this?
Oh, it's history now. Draw the line. It was settled. It should have been settled months ago, as I said, but It's been settled now. Anyway, move on. King is dead, long live the king. Yeah, that lovely phrase.
Indeed, indeed. We're getting ever closer now to the Euros kicking off in France. Lots of excitement over here. Obviously, every time England go into a major tournament, there is a wave of optimism. How far do you think England can go in this tournament under Roy Hodgson?
Well, I generally don't know because, first of all, I haven't been really keeping in touch with the England squad and its performance. And I'm sure Roy Hodgson is very capable, but he's not exactly Mr. Personality. And probably rightly so, he's blooding a lot of youngsters. And so he's got a very young team with not as many much experience as perhaps he should have. So it depends. Get off to a good start against Russia. Rather than having all been banned for doping. Not England, Russia. Who knows? I wish them well. I wish Wales well. And I wish Ireland well as well. Good luck to all of them. Let's hope they do well. Obviously, England will be lovely. And let's hope we have no problems. There's, of course, terror alert because of ISIS, which will put great pressure on the security fans. Let's hope all the England supporters behave themselves so they don't put unnecessary pressure on the French security forces. But otherwise, we're occupied.
And of course, the world lost one of its sporting greats this week, in Muhammad Ali, who passed away at the weekend. What are your thoughts on the late boxer?
Well, I must say, I never watched him box, other than been on TV. But years and years ago, I was in the Santa Mayfair Hotel. So this must be in the 70s, I think. And he came over, and underneath the Mayfair Hotel in the West End, there's a very small 300-seater Mayfair cinema and theatre. And he did an interview with Michael Parkinson. By that time, of course, he changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali and converted to Islam. And he had a wicked sense of humour and a very off-the-cuff, as well as a very entertaining, good company. But obviously, following his death, they're showing filmed extracts from bits his career and his life. And of course, it's interesting is that he was called up for national service conscription after he converted, and he refused to go. He said, as a conscientious objector. Now, just listen the next bit carefully, having regard to ISIS. He said, I'm a Muslim convert, I'm Islam, I worship Allah. It is a religion of peace, and it's against my principles to go to another country and drop bombs and shoot people of another race and of another faith. Now, how does that tie up? And he went to jail. So how does that tie up with ISIS, who claimed to be Muslim, claimed to worship Allah, claimed to live by the Quran, which they don't, and go around murdering innocent people in a senseless way? And of course, if you look at the Quran, Allah is good, Allah is merciful. That's what it says. It doesn't say don't drink. if you drink, drink in moderation, with respect to the people you're with. It doesn't say women have got to wear the burqa. It says women should dress respectfully, having consideration to their husbands and the people they meet. I don't think it says anything about stoning adulteresses to death, and it says about chopping your hands off of thieves. It's all how it's interpreted by the imams, who have no religious training. That comes out, what do we think like? So, in my opinion, ISIS are not religious. They're just like the extreme version of the triad gangs and the mafia. They're high on drugs. They're high on theft, stealing money, subjecting women to slavery. There's an old saying, God must be turning his grave. Allah must be turning his grave. See what these people are doing in his name. There's a great late Dave Allen used to say, may your God go with you. That was Muhammad Ali's attitude, and I admired him very much for it. He's only 74. Of course, there's a theory that he involved in also boxing matches. I mean, he tongued up blows to the head, and it affected his brain. Because they now people looking at a more wider range over rugby players as well. Bad injuries to the brain, subsequent damage. But Muhammad Ali, I've said Barack Obama has damaged the argument of racial equality and colour by 40 years. Muhammad Ali progressed in advance it by 50 years. Fine man, always gentle. No scandals, kept his beliefs. And left the world a better place than he found it. So I said, well, that kind of